breaking the power of Satan. Before we begin, let's bow our heads once more. Our Father, as we study this very important topic today, breaking the power of Satan, we ask that each one of us here will have our minds open to be able to receive and to understand the message today. I pray that you will rebuke the enemy so that he will cause no one to go to sleep, no one to get drowsy, but help us all to be alert and awake. And we thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you had lived in Palestine at the time of Jesus, and you saw a person carrying a cross, you would have known that he was a criminal and was going to die. For the cross was a symbol of death. That's all it meant. Today, it's entirely different. The symbol of the cross signifies something of the most glorious nature, the love of God displayed for fallen humanity. We hardly realize it is also the symbol of the most heinous nature of man, of sin, and of death itself. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Now, today we're in number 6 in our series of How to Have Victory Over the Enemy, or our Self series. So let's now at this time look at Philippians 2, verse 12. This is one of those challenging verses. Paul says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." That doesn't sound much like righteousness by faith, does it? But when correctly understood, this verse teaches righteousness by faith stronger than any other verse we're going to learn. Now, in reality, this word work is rather a unique word. It's not used very many times in the New Testament, but when properly understood, it has a different connotation. The Spirit of Prophecy makes clear the meaning of this text. It says, "None of the apostles or the prophets ever claimed to be without sin. Men who have lived nearest to God put no confidence in the flesh, have claimed no righteousness of their own, but have trusted wholly in the righteousness of Christ. So will it be with all who behold Christ." My friends, at every advanced step in our Christian experience, our repentance should deepen. And it will deepen. Then our lips will not be open in self-glorification. We shall know that our sufficiency is in Christ Jesus alone. Christ alone. Which is, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Romans 7:18. God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Galatians 6:14. And then this amazing statement immediately follows in harmony with this experience. It's talking about the confession of the Apostle Paul. "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Philippians 2 verse 12 and 13. In other words, the first work that God is depending upon us to do is to be willing to surrender, to submit. And that's the work God has given to you and me to do. Friends, this is how we work out our own salvation. It is by surrendering to Christ, and it is by submitting to His will. Now, in every place the Spirit of Prophecy uses that scripture, and it's used in several different places, we find the same connotation, the same typical reference of actually surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our first work. That's what God expects us to do. Surrender. Now, when Paul says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling," we see that this experience he's talking about is not humanly possible without Jesus. And that's why we must add verse 13, where it says, "For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Friends, pure religion has to do with the will. Now, when we think of the will, we automatically think of willpower, do we not? What do we think of then, when we think of willpower? Determination, grit, and stubbornness. He's got a lot of willpower. So it's difficult for us to make a transition in our thinking to realize that willpower is not, in reality, the power of the will. It's vastly different. Pure religion has to do with the will. The will is the governing power in the nature of man and woman, bringing all the other faculties under its sway. The will is not the taste or the inclination, but it is the deciding power which works in the children of men under obedience to God or under disobedience. Now, friends, the power of the will is always used either for good or for evil. It is a deciding power in the nature of man. Now, I want you to notice the following statement points directly to the importance of the will when it says, "You will be in constant peril or danger until you understand the true force of the will. You may believe and promise all things, but your promises or your faith are of no value until you put your will on the side of faith and action, but you need not despair. You must be determined to believe. Believe, although nothing seems true or real to you." Determined to do what? Believe. Believe how much? Although nothing seems true or real, we are to still believe. Now that's exactly the point that Jesus came to. His disciples had forsaken Him. Soldiers were actually crucifying Him on the cross. Everything seemed unreal to Him. He had apparently felt forsaken by God Himself through the heart-rending experience of His Father withdrawing His presence. And it was at that moment, when everything looked totally impossible, that He recalled and rested upon the foreknowledge and the evidence that He had been given before. In submission, Jesus surrendered Himself to God when everything seemed impossible. And that's exactly what He expects you and me to do. It goes on to say, "You cannot control your impulses or your emotions as you may desire, but you can control the will." Friends, that is sovereign in us. It always will be. There is no way that the will can be held under any power if you choose to exercise it. Even though Satan may have control of a person, he cannot actually keep you from exercising your will if you choose to do so. Now, inspiration goes on to say, "By steadfastly keeping the will on the Lord's side, every emotion will be brought into captivity to the will of Jesus." Every emotion, friends. Every emotion. Do you have problems in the area of emotions? That's where most of us are hassled constantly. But every emotion or feeling will be brought into captivity to the will of God. If we completely surrender the will to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it goes on to say, "You must remember that your will is the spring of all your actions." Now this also includes your feelings and your emotions. Everything that we do is an action of the will. Even though we may decide not to make a decision, it is still an action of the will. All right. This will that forms so important a factor in the character of man was at the fall given into the control of Satan. But you see, friends, Satan didn't know that God had a plan of salvation. In Genesis 3:15, God said, "I will put enmity between you, Satan, and my people." Adam when he had sinned, had transferred his loyalty to Satan, and his allegiance was to the devil. And Satan said, it's going to be there forever. It'll never be broken. But Jesus said to Satan in Genesis 3:15, I'm going to put something there, something between, that will allow man to choose again. I'm going to put war between you and those who accept me. Now right here, God gave man back the ability to use the will. Now God did not give the will back to man. No. But he gave man the ability to actually take his will out of Satan's hands and place it into Christ's hands. Now notice carefully. This will that formed so important a factor in the character of man was at the fall given into the control of Satan. Jesus said, yield yourself up to me. Give me that will. Take it from the control of Satan and I will take possession of it. Then I can work in you to will and to do of my good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. Now I want to ask you a question. Could it be that there are some of us who have consistently tried to give our wills to Jesus without taking it out of the hands of Satan? And we're trying to give away something that we don't actually have control of. Are we trying to surrender something that we have not gained control of? Yield your will to me, Jesus says. And in reality, I will purify and cleanse it. I will make it so united with mine that when you're doing your will, you will actually be doing mine. And when doing mine, you will be doing yours. But you see, friends, Satan has a plan too. He's the one who instigated the plan of independence. Independence from all authority. And especially independence from God. Satan says, don't let anyone tell you what to do. Do your own thing. And so the devil tries to make you believe that when you're doing your own thing, you're doing what you want to do. But you, being totally unconscious of the fact that he is the one who's really calling the shots, are in fact doing his will. It's like the devil is putting you at the oars of a boat while he holds the rudder. No. You can work all you want to work, but you will end up exactly where Satan wants you to go. Please listen now. Satan takes control of every mind that is not decidedly under the control of the Spirit of God. Satan takes control. Jesus will never take control of our minds. Never. We must give our minds to Christ. Satan takes control of your mind. He takes control of any mind that is not decidedly under the control of God. Now, Satan cannot take your will out of God's hands. But we can. We can. And if we do, Satan immediately then takes control of it. Whenever we decide or choose to follow one of Satan's suggestions, we are, in reality, taking our will out of Christ's hands, and then Satan immediately takes control of it. That's one of the problems with the fall. That's what happened at the fall. Now, since outside stimuli can come from only one of two sources, Christ or Satan, Satan uses every means possible to stimulate your brain. Of course, Jesus does the same thing, but there's a difference. There's a marked difference in the way they work. While Jesus appeals to reason, Satan tries to stimulate the brain without your recognizing who he is. This is why we have to guard well the avenues to the soul, such as touch, seeing, hearing, taste, and smell. That's the five senses. We are to guard well the senses. These actually are the ways that Satan uses to reach the human brain with his temptations. Jesus is saying, please, let's sit down and talk things over and let's reason together about this thing. Isaiah 1:18. But Satan bypasses all that and takes control. Why? Because in reality, that was given into his hand when Adam fell. And unless our will is taken out of Satan's hand, he still has control. That's a scary thought. For he wants to control us through our will in such a subtle way that we do not really know what he's doing. Friends, right now, our mind is either under the control of Christ or Satan. For there are only two powers in this universe. Please notice this now. For thousands of years, Satan has been experimenting upon the properties of the human mind, and he's learned to know it well. By his subtle workings in these last days, he is linking the human mind with his own, imbuing it with his thoughts, and he is doing this work in so deceptive of a manner that those who accept his guidance do not know that they are being led by him at his will. That's serious. Many of us think we're doing God's will when in reality we're following false theories and ideas placed in our minds by Satan, and we think they are God's thoughts inspired by him. They think they are our thoughts inspired by God. The great deceiver hopes to so confuse the minds of men and women that none but his voice will be heard. Did you know that he did this in heaven with the minds of the angels? Think about that, my friends. Holy angels thought they were thinking their own thoughts when actually they were thinking the thoughts that Satan put into their minds. That was the angels that fell. He does the same thing with you and me today. For instance, the Apostle Paul zealously felt he was serving God in persecuting the followers of Jesus. But he was really doing the work of Satan. This is why independence or self-assertiveness is so necessary to Satan's whole program. He cannot stand this picture of self-surrender. For his whole program is to build up the self-image and to build us up in independent feelings, independent experience, all independent from God. My friends, you will have to become a faithful sentinel over your eyes, your ears, and all your senses if you would control your mind and prevent vain and corrupt thoughts from staining your soul. The power of grace alone can accomplish this most desirable work. Only God can do it. However, we simply cannot do this in our own strength at all. It is utterly impossible for us to do it in our own strength. But by actually accepting God's character through justification and the process of sanctification, this does become a reality. Our will is to be yielded to Jesus that we may receive it back again, purified and refined, and so linked in sympathy with the divine that he can pour through us the tides of his love and power. Now, however bitter and painful that this surrender may appear to the willful, wayward heart, yet it is profitable. It is profitable to us. You mean it's that painful to surrender our wills to God? Well, we're told that that which causes the soul to stumble must be sacrificed. It's painful to sacrifice something. You remember now that the will is the source of the spring of all of our actions, and it doesn't matter whether they're good or bad actions. So isn't that a good reason for having our will in someone's hands who can control it? Someone who can actually keep it going correctly? I want you to notice now, in order for us to reach that high ideal, that which causes a soul to stumble must be sacrificed. That's the will. If it is through the will that sin retains its hold upon us, as we're told, is it any wonder that Satan wants to hang on to our wills? He'd be a fool if he didn't engage in a life and death struggle to hold on to our will. For him to seek to hold your will while you believed that you held it yourself would be the most subtle and convincing way for him to hang on to the will. Independent you and me are ego-filled enough to think that we can do our own thing when in reality we're either obeying one source or another. And Satan doesn't want us to know it. Now in the Bible, the surrender of the will is represented as plucking out the eye or cutting off the hand. Matthew 5:29. So we can see, my friends, that this is no small matter. It's not a light thing. It's serious. Yet I've heard many people say, well, I've given my will into the hands of the Lord. But friends, much of the time, it is just simply a verbalization. Satan urges us to do just that. So you think you have done it. But I'll tell you, it's a different thing to take it out of Satan's hand and surrender it to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not an easy thing. Often it seems to us that to surrender the will to God is to consent to go through life maimed or crippled. You talk to people who haven't become a Christian and ask them if they'd like to really become a Christian. How many times do they say, well, I'll just wait a little while. I did it myself. When I was a young man, I told the Lord, I said, just give me 10 years of living the life I want to live. And then I'll accept you. Well, I thought I was going to be crippled, more or less, to accept Christ. So many things I wanted to do, I couldn't do. But little did I know, if I was only given my heart to the Lord back then, I'd probably be ahead of the game today. Think of how many years I lost. You realize, this is exactly what Jesus did. You remember that Jesus had absolute power to experience life as a human being, depending totally upon His Father working through Him, was for Him like going through life maimed or crippled. Just think about that. Think how Jesus had to restrict Himself. That's why it was so difficult in the garden for Jesus to say, Father, there must be some other way. But if not, then not my will, but yours be done. Total surrender. It caused the sweat to come as great drops of blood from His brow. And don't think it's going to take any less effort on our part. The greatest battle we will ever fight is a battle of surrendering the soul. And that's exactly the way that God has planned it. Because that's the only way to make us fit for heaven. We must pass through the fire to be able to get ready to be purified. Jesus has promised that sin will never rise up again in heaven. And in order for that to take place, we've got to be purified. He cannot take any chances. He made Lucifer perfect in the beginning. And look what happened. We must come to the point in our lives to where sin is so heinous that we will never, ever want to sin, even in a little smidgen. We're told that we cannot control the will ourselves, so we cannot take it out of Satan's hands unless we're going to surrender it to Jesus. For He is the only one who can keep it. For you recall, Satan takes control of every mind that is not decidedly under the control of Christ. Now, you may think you can take this control away from Satan and wait and hang on to it and make a decision. No, you simply cannot. Satan will take control immediately You must take that will from Satan and surrender it to the Lord Jesus. And in so doing, Jesus will keep your will. And Satan has no power to take it back unless you make the decision to give it back to him by following one of his suggestions. And when you follow one of his suggestions, you are in reality allowing him to take the will from Jesus' hands. And when we begin to realize that Satan's power is indeed broken, he's lost the control. That's why the servant of the Lord says, Satan knows better than we do the limit of his power and how easily he can be overcome if we resist and face him, James 4:7. Through divine strength, the weakest saint is more than a match for him and all of his angels. And if brought to the test, the saint would be able to prove his superior power. Friends, that is the weakest saint. One who's just come and surrendered his life to Jesus will be more than a match for Satan and all of his host of evil angels and could show his superior power through the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, isn't that beautiful? That's so wonderful. You and I, weak as we are still more than a match for Satan if Jesus is holding our wills. That's why we're told you will be in constant peril or danger until you know the true force of the will. Now, when you give up your own will, your own wisdom, and learn of Christ, you will then find admittance into the kingdom of God. That's wonderful. Everything depends upon the right action of the will, which is a power of choice that God has given to each one of us. The power of choice. It is ours to exercise. You cannot change your heart. You cannot of yourself give it to God. You cannot give its affections to God, but you can choose to serve Him. Friends, Satan cannot keep you from making that decision. You can choose to give your will to Jesus, and in that act, you literally take your will out of Satan's hands. He cannot possibly keep you from doing that, and he realizes it. And so he subtly attempts to entice you to decide to keep your will in your own hands. Or so you think, by getting you to do things he suggests. And unless you surrender your will to Jesus, you will follow Satan's promptings while thinking you're doing what God wants you to do. That's serious. Now, when we submit ourselves to Christ, the heart is united with Christ's heart. The will is merged in His will, and the mind becomes one with His mind, and the thoughts are brought into captivity to Him. We live His life then. This is what it means to be clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness. Friends, our salvation is a matter of surrendering the will to God, placing our entire power of choice in His hands to be purified and cleansed. And then He hands the power of choice back to us. So united with Him, so cleansed and purified, that when we are doing God's will, we are but doing our own will as well. What a wonderful, marvelous privilege that God has given to us. If the thoughts are wrong, the feelings will be wrong. And the thoughts and the feelings combined make up the moral character. I don't know if you knew that or not, but that's the way it is. So we see that the habit patterns of life make up our character. For character is not revealed by an occasional misdeed or good deed, but by the general tendency of the habitual life. That means our habits. It is the habit patterns of life that make up character. When we're talking about changing our habit patterns, we're really talking about the choices that one makes. The will. We're talking about the power of choice. And it is only God who can change the wrong habits in our lives so that we will choose what is right. Now, why is that? Well, because the law of sin that lives in our members is the law that Satan works through. It is the law of what? Anybody know? Feelings. It is the law of feelings. And almost without exception, every decision that you or I make every day is inclined to be made by the way we feel rather than by our knowledge. If we feel like doing something, we have a tendency to make the decision to do it. That's why when we go past the refrigerator or the cookie jar, we have trouble resisting the desire to eat between meals. We feel. That's the law of sin in our members. Romans 6. And it causes our mind then to do something. If we feel like skipping church, we have a tendency to do it. If we feel like staying home from work or school or prayer meeting, we have a tendency to do that. For many of us, feelings are the determining factor in most of our decisions. Just stop and consider this. This is serious, brothers and sisters. This is serious. It's a matter of life and death. That's the way the devil works. He knows you're not hungry, but he creates this feeling. Now, if you'll trace this through every experience, you'll find it's the same thing. Satan doesn't want you to know he is the one who creates the stimulus for this very thing. So when we actually understand where it comes from, and we take our will out of Satan's hands and surrender it to the Lord Jesus, then when these temptations come to us, no matter how strong they are, no matter what they are, we can readily recognize immediately their source. Then we simply say, Lord Jesus, I cannot keep from doing this, but I make a determined choice not to do it. Now, I cannot keep myself from doing it, but I've chosen not to do it. Now, please, you keep me from doing it, and please take the power of this temptation away in Jesus' name. Do you know that God will actually do that? He will deliver you instantly from the power of that temptation? Because He knows your weakness and my weakness. Friends, the secret is not in having power over your will, but in actually surrendering your will to God. And in recognizing that the temptations that come to us from feelings are Satan working upon the will and trying to get us to make a decision to yield to him, or in practical matters, to open the refrigerator door. And once you do that, once you allow these thoughts to get into your mind, you might as well open the refrigerator door or open the cookie jar, because you're going to do it anyway. Now you know I'm telling you the truth. When you recognize that Satan is tempting you, then you should put to death that temptation by saying, Lord, there's that temptation that comes from the devil. And then you should put to death. Tell the Lord, I know it's from the devil and I can't handle it. God knows you can't handle it. Admit it. Admit it to Him. Please take the power of this temptation away, and you know what? At that very moment, He will take the power of that temptation away. Sounds impossible, doesn't it? But it isn't. God will do it. Now, I did not say that God will deliver you from every kind of temptation instantly. That temptation will still be there. But God will deliver you from the power of that temptation instantly. That's God's method, for He knows the frailty of the human heart. He hasn't made all those promises to us in His Word. He's not a liar. He's made these promises, and I believe those promises, and those promises are true and faithful. He's given us the insight that we might actually follow His instructions and be delivered from the power of Satan. Remember that God says, when you give up your own will, your own wisdom, and learn of Christ, you will find entrance into the kingdom of God. But where do we learn of Christ? In His written Word. In the Bible. And the pattern of the life of Jesus. When we give up our own wisdom, our own will, and learn of Christ, then we will be admitted into the kingdom of God. We become members of the family of God by this simple process. Satan doesn't want us to know this. Why? Because in thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, we find a horrible thought expressed. This thought is horrible. Now listen to this. It's very important. It says, the strongest bulwark of vice in our world is not the iniquitous sinful life of the abandoned sinner or the degraded outcast, but it is that life which otherwise appears virtuous, honorable, and noble, in which one sin is fostered or one vice indulged. That is a horrible, horrible thought to me. Now, friends, all the devil has to do is to do exactly what he's doing in the lives of thousands of Seventh-day Adventists and other Christians, individuals who have accepted church membership, baptism, and all that, but are actually not born again. His only work is to keep them satisfied in doing, quote-unquote, good things. While in reality, they're holding on to one sin indulged. One sin indulged. We're told that not only does that put them in the camp of Satan, but it makes them the strongest bulwark, the strongest ally of Satan. That's scary, friends. As I was studying this for this sermon, I want to tell you, it struck me hard. I don't want one sin in my life. And I plead with the Lord, reveal to me every single sin that's still there that I'm not even aware of. I don't want one sin in my life that I'm indulging or practicing, willful sin. Can we understand then how necessary it is to take our will away from Satan and to surrender it to the Lord Jesus and to break the devil's power? Satan is not going to let that power be broken without a battle, friends. If you take this step, what I've been telling you, he's going to try to convince you that it's not working. Satan will try to convince you in every possible way that he can that it's not real. But Jesus said we are to believe though all things seem impossible. When all things seem unnatural or out of harmony, we are to believe and obey anyway. When you do this, then accept the Lord Jesus. Accept His promise obediently. Accept His message and trust Him. That's the whole thing, irregardless of what circumstances you're in. I would like to suggest that if you've never entered into this experience and it is your desire to and choice your will to do so, that before you go to bed tonight and sleep, and also the first thing in the morning, that you do this one thing. Say to the Lord out loud, Lord Jesus, I'm giving my will to You, and in this very act, I am taking it out of Satan's hands. He has had all that he's going to have. Now you see, by praying out loud, you've let Satan know that you've surrendered your will to Jesus, where Jesus can keep it. Remember, Satan cannot read our thoughts, but he can hear our words. Don't talk to the devil. Talk to God. And then watch the results. Jesus says, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. Proverbs 23:26. Friends, God will begin to work in you in ways you actually do not realize possible. If you will follow Christ's way by surrendering your willpower, your will, your power of choice, and your wisdom, and learn of Christ. But remember, we must exercise faith and believe, even when nothing seems true or real to you. May this be our experience today. Now, our study next Sabbath will be the guiding principle of victory. The guiding principle of victory. And it'll be the next in our series. Shall we pray? Our dear Father in heaven, I know that some of these messages seem hard to understand, and for some even hard to take. But we pray that Your Holy Spirit will continue to strive with every single one of us until we reach the point where we are safe to take into heaven, where we're walking with Jesus day by day and Satan will not be able to trip us up. Lord, help us to surrender our will to You, our power of choice, and help us to practice the presence of Jesus every moment of the day. We want to thank You, Lord, for Your precious promises that make these experiences a reality in the life of the surrendered Christian. In Jesus' name, amen.